Continuing our study on the parables of Jesus, and this is part 11, so we're getting up there, ain't they? I don't know if I've ever done one this long before. I guess Romans we did, that took a few. But, God just keeps revealing things to us through His Word. And today we're going to talk about stewardship and how important stewardship is in our life. And stewardship's one of those words that's maybe not very glamorous or whatever, but it's something that's just down in nitty-gritty, things that we just need to do. And I just want to ask a question is, would you consider yourself a faithful steward? Maybe you don't know what a steward is. Maybe I'll get to that in a minute. But we each have been given different responsibilities in the kingdom of God. And it's up to us if we're going to do really what God's called us to do. God's not going to make you. We have to step up and step into His calling, the things that He has for us. And to me, it's so easy to kind of lose sight of the big picture of how we fit into God's plan. And to me, it's what we do with what we have is our responsibility. Amen? What we do with what we have is our responsibility. The passage we're going to look at today is in Matthew 25, verse 14 to 30. Matthew 25, 14 to 30, talking about a master here who had three different servants among many, but these three were singled out, and he gave them something to be responsible for because he was going away. He was leaving. I mean, that's a big step of faith, because once you find out how much he gave a couple of them, it's pretty amazing. So it says here in verse 14, "For it's just like a man about to go on a journey, who called his own slaves and entrusted his possessions to them. To one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, and to another 1, each according to his own ability. And he went on his journey. Immediately the one who had received the 5 talents went and traded with them and gained 5 more talents. In the same manner, the one who received 2 talents gained 2 more. But he received 1 talent, went away, dug a hole in the ground, and hid his master's money. Now, after a long time, the master of the slaves came and settled the accounts with him. To one had received the 5 talents, he came up and brought him 5 more talents, saying, 'Master, you entrusted 5 talents to me. See, I have gained 5 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many. Enter into the joy of your master." Also, the one who had received the 2 talents came up and said, "Master, you entrusted 2 talents to me. See, I have gained 2 more talents. His master said to him, "Well done, good and faithful slave. You were faithful with a few things. I will put you in charge of many things. Enter into the joy of your master." And then the one who also had received the 1 talent came up and said, "Master, I knew you to be a hard man, reaping where you did not sow, gathering where you scattered no seed, and I was afraid. I went away and hid your talent in the ground. See, you have what is yours." But he answered and said to him, "You wicked, lazy slave. You knew that I reap where I did not sow, and I gather where I scattered no seed. Then you ought to put my money in the bank, and on my arrival I would at least receive the money back with interest. Therefore, take away the talent from him and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For to everyone who has, more shall be given, and he will have an abundance. But from the one who does not have, even what he does have will be taken away. Throw this worthless slave into outer darkness, in that place where there be weeping and gnashing of teeth." There's always good news and bad news in all these stories, these parables, ain't they almost? I mean, pretty rough, but let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the spiritual journey you've brought us on in our life, Lord, as we follow you all the days of our life. Lord, we know there's ups and downs, there's corners, and there's all these things that we run across, but Lord, no matter what, we just keep on coming. Lord, I thank you for everything that you're doing in each of our lives and what you've entrusted us with. Lord, help us to be good stewards. Lord, right now I want to be a good steward, and I thank you for the gift you put inside of me, and I use it for your glory. And I pray for words that both pierce and penetrate to leave my lips and the gifts of the Spirit to be in operation in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, a little bit about this story, a couple background things. Number one, a talent is worth about 15 years of wages. That's a lot of money. Think about that. One talent is fit. Think about what you make in 15 years. And this one guy got five of those. Another guy got two, and the one who wasn't very good at all, he at least got one. That's quite a bit of money. I mean, think about it. How many of you have a boss right now that if he was going away, he would give you 15 years of wages and tell you to be entrusted to it and try to make me some money on this deal? Probably not too many of us, would they? But that's what the story tells us here. And what's interesting is the man, the owner of everything, he gave to each slave what he considered according to their ability. You know, technically in this room, we have many different people, and each of us have different abilities and different things, right? Some of us are good in some things and maybe not so good in others. Other people are good in something else, and just the way it works. And such is life sometimes. Many times, what we have is kind of based on our abilities that we have. If you have something that is marketable, right? You can market that ability, and you can turn that into income, correct? That's what you all do. You go to work, right? You trade time for money. Most everybody does, within reason. You trade time for money. And so each of us have certain things, and, you know, there's certain things I know in life I wish I was better at in areas of business and things like this. But for whatever reason, I mean, I have gotten better, but there's my mind just doesn't work that way. Like I've always said, some people, like we have some landlords around town, and they can see an old dilapidated house, and we see a piece of junk, and they see profit. They see where you can take that house, put a little money into it and fix it up, and then let somebody else pay for the house for them. That's really what's happening when we rent. I mean, I hate to break it to everybody. You probably figured that out already, right? When we rent, we pay for somebody else's building. And some of my friends, they've done that, and when it comes time to retire, then they start selling off their houses. That's a pretty good, really good deal, you know? But it's, you know, not everybody has the ability to do that. But that's okay. We're all different. Some of us are really different, right? Amen. Really different. So we're all born with certain things, and I do believe that, you know, some of our abilities can be developed with practice, right? Certain things, you know, God has put gifts inside of each and every one of us. Believe that. They're in there. Now, those gifts have to be developed. Just like if he's wanting to play some sport, let's say he's wanting to play tennis. I know that's kind of on the outs and pickleball's on the rise, you know. But if you wanted to be better at something, you usually go out and participate in it and practice and get involved in that. And if you apply yourself over a certain amount of time, you can become an expert. I can't remember what that statistic is, but if you put so much time in this over a year, you become an expert in that field. And so it's like that with the ability that God's put inside of you. Just like, you know, let's say teaching. You know, I always told the testimony, when I started out, I had only been saved a year or so, and they needed a Sunday school teacher for the three-year-olds. And to be honest, I couldn't really pray in front of an adult. I didn't feel comfortable. I was afraid I'd say something stupid. But I knew I could probably handle a three-year-old. You know what I mean? And so I went and worked in that ministry, and God used that practice of teaching to help me for later on in life. If I wouldn't have made that first step, I probably wouldn't be here today. But you have to make that first step. to develop whatever ability you feel that God's put inside of you. Then you start to work that gift and start to see it start to grow and start to manifest in your life. And then you'll see start to see lives changed. Now, in the story, the two first slaves, the one who got five talents and one who have two talents, it says they immediately went right to work. That kind of shows their personality a little bit. You got to be diligent, right? You know what diligent means? Got to be diligent and get right after it. You know, sitting on the sofa doesn't really get her done, you know what I mean? You have to get out there and be diligent with what you have been entrusted to you with, the giftings that you have. I mean, some of us have certain knacks for certain things, and you have to get going for it. So they went immediately after it, and that showed that the faithfulness and the aggressiveness for multiplication in our life. And that's what we need to be. I think sometimes we're not aggressive enough in the things of God. I think deep down inside, we're too afraid to make a mistake that we don't get anything done. We're afraid that we might miss God or mess up somehow and disappoint God. I don't believe God is disappointed with people who try. I don't believe that. God can correct us when we're moving. You know what I'm saying? It's hard to get something started. And God's wanting us to get moving. Get right after it. Get right after the things that He's stirred on the inside of us that we need to do. Now, in correlation between those two, and the slave who only got one talent, it says that he was afraid. He was terrified, and so he dug a hole and hid that talent. 15 years of wages. I mean, think about how much you make in 15 years. Would you take that and go out? I mean, hopefully you look for nobody looking, right? Go out and dig a hole in the yard, and you put 15 years of wages in the yard. You bury it and cover it up. That's how afraid he was. He didn't really understand the master, did he? I think sometimes you and I misunderstand the master. Being afraid sometimes of making those mistakes in life. You know, I could easily rattle off four or five bad decisions I've made over my life right now. Do I regret them? No. Why? Because they're in the past. Those were stepping stones. Those were learning experiences along the way. And I'll be honest, some of them were kind of expensive. You know what I'm saying? They were expensive lessons. But I was moving. I had to make a course correction along the way, but I was moving. And see, that's a lot better than taking what God has given us and just burying it. What the problem was with this last slave was the fact that he was living not to lose rather than living to win. And we cannot do that in our life. We have such, I know life to a young person, I got a lot of time. But as you get older, you look back, man, where did time go? You know, why did I make some of the decisions that I made? You know, and the old saying that a lot of people on their deathbed, they ask them what they wish they would have done different. Most of them said they wish would have taken more risk. Now, don't go off and do something crazy tomorrow, you know, sell all you have and, you know, do something wild. But I'm just saying, take more risk, you know. Pray, really seek God. You know, faith journeys aren't always comfortable. You know what I mean? A faith journey isn't always easy. It's not always comfortable. It's going to stretch us and pull us and make us, you know, go into areas of our soul and our mind that's going to maybe make us have to deal with some of our fears in life. And that's okay to get rid of those things and to put them under our feet. So the idea of stewardship, here's what the idea of stewardship means. It's the careful and responsible management of something entrusted to one's care. Okay. So as most of you hopefully have realized at this time, when you die, you are taking nothing with you. Nothing. It's really only what you sent ahead, and that's a different sermon in itself. But we all just take care of, the house I live in is very old, and I have the abstract, and it lists all the different people that owned the house I live in. It says we own it, but really we're just taking care of it because we're not taking it with us forever. And that's what life is. We're a steward of things, just like your children. I mean, your children, you're just a steward over them. You're taking care of them. God gave you these beautiful children that you can watch over and tend and care for. And hopefully, though, you're inputting life to them, especially spiritual life. And then they go off and they do their own thing, don't they? We're just the steward. See, we're just taking care of things. So it changes, hopefully, the mindset of how we look at life. Now, our perspective of stewardship versus ownership will depict how we live our lives, meaning that stewardship is administration, not acquisition. Now, I'm not saying it's not wrong to own things, or that's what we call it. You know, it's better to own than maybe rent or whatever. You know what I'm saying? If you can get to that place, we want to do that. That way you're having some, you know, equity in your own home and things like that. But primarily in life, we just have to look at it from that perspective. You know, we started this church, my wife and I, but we don't own the church. We are stewards of this church because when we're done, we just hand this over to somebody else to take care of it for the next hitch, whatever they're here. That's the way life is. We're just a steward of these things. And we try to do the best we can while we're here. But what problem in our culture, especially a capitalistic culture, which I'm not totally against, don't get me wrong, I think our way of doing things is probably one of the best systems on the planet, but we can get over into the greed area, into different ways of doing things. So if we're always seeking ownership, we'll be chasing after control all the time. You can't seek after control. But see, if we're seeking after stewardship, then we'll be seeking responsibility. Inside my office, I have something written on my board. It's been there for years. You probably can't even erase it off now. It's been there so long. But it's the philosophy that I use. I try to get through each and every person serving in this church. Because sometimes we can get misguided and it can become, I control this or I control that. But this is what I try to stress. Don't take control. Take responsibility. There's a difference. Don't take control. Take responsibility. See, when you're in control, you're trying to pull all the strings. But when you take responsibility, it turns on us something inside of us that we feel responsible to be able to see something through to the end. And we want to make sure it's better when we're done than it was when we received it. Amen? And so what I see is that the mindset is it is not mine, it is his, and he has entrusted it to me to care for it as long as I'm here. And that's just the way I see things. I try to do the best I can with everything that God has put in my responsibility area, my area of responsibility. Why? Because I'm working for God. And that's just not in the church. I mean, in every area of my life, I try to do that. It's a revelation I received many years ago from God. The fact of being a good steward and how you try to take care of things. I believe that we need to be a good steward of this planet. Am I a tree hugger? No. That's not my philosophy, but I don't just go out and destroy things just for the pleasure of destruction. You know what I mean? I believe we try to take care of things and leave it, you know, for the next group that's coming through. Because, you know, it's kind of a weird way of looking at it. We're all just taking turns down here till Jesus comes. You know what I mean? Hey, it's our turn right now. You know, my parents' turn is over. They're gone. They passed. And their parents have passed. So it's my turn. You know, what am I going to do with my turn? No, I don't want to waste my turn. You know what I mean? Like kids fighting over a toy. It's my turn. It's my turn. Well, then when it's their turn, they don't do nothing with it. We got to make the best out of our turn. So basically, stewardship, again, boils down to what we do with what we have. What we do with what we have. Now, some people have a lot of stuff. I know some of you got a lot of stuff. You know, you're setting pretty good right now. Some of you may not be setting so good right now, you know. But nevertheless, we all have three different things that we can steward over. And we've went over these before, but I want to hit them again. And they are time, talent, and treasure. Time, talent, and treasure. Time, first one, need to spend our time wisely. Don't be wasteful. That doesn't mean we can't kick back and relax a little bit. That's not what I'm saying. But kind of be mindful of your time. You know, what are we spending our time on? And I found out in life that if we're not getting the desired result with what we're doing, try to do something different. Try to do it differently. You know what I mean? If we have certain goals and certain things in our life that we would like to see, well, then maybe we're not getting them with the system that we're using right now. Hey, we need to shake it up a little bit. We need to try something different. You know, maybe try a different, maybe it could be a different job or different something, whatever the case may be. Effort. Effort does not necessarily bring productivity, but only wise effort will bring productivity. It's wise effort. You know, step back, think about what we're doing. Am I doing this wisely? How important it is. Second thing is talent, okay? And that's your giftings that you have. 1 Peter 4:10 says, as each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. Okay, so first it says there, each one's received a special gift. So if you're sitting here today and you say, I don't have any gifts, that's not true. Unless you're saying the Bible's not true. If that's what you're saying, then we have another discussion to take. But let's just pretend we all believe what the Bible says. Amen? That it's God's word. So it says that each one has a special gift. You all have a gift. God's put a gift inside of you, whatever that is. And the gift isn't to be for notoriety. You know what I'm saying? The gift is to glorify God. And it says that we are to put our gift to work serving one another. So that's what a gift, that's what God has put something inside you so that you can use that to build the body of Christ. Simple as that. That's what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to build the body of Christ. That means make the local church stronger by employing the gift that God's put inside you, you know, inside these four walls or how many we got here, and try to build people up, and then also not just stay here, but then go out into all the world and preach the gospel and go out and try to make a difference in other people's lives. That's the gifts that God's put inside of us. And when we do that, we start to function and we start to flow with the Holy Spirit. Amen? Because the Holy Spirit is wanting to get things done. Amen? We want to get things done. Now, I know that's not a 24/7 thing. You can't just, you know, do that because you have other responsibilities. But I'm just saying that we need to put that on our radar in the front burner, that we want to really use our gift and develop that gift and try to help as many people as we can. You know, strengthen the relationships inside the local church to make us stronger as a body, a tighter-knit group, amen? And get involved in other people's lives. And I know that's messy because getting involved with people's a messy business because different people have different ways of doing things. And to be honest, some people are just irritating, right? I'm irritating. I know that. But we have to get involved with each other and start to deal with those things and start to see things start to change and manifest in our life. And, you know, granted, some people are just better than others, and we just need to do that. Then lastly is treasure. Treasure. You know, what we spend our money on is important to God. It is. Because he's given us, because a good stewardship can, what it can seem frugal to others. You know, what we spend on. See, I don't believe, you know, due to my persuasion, I don't believe throwing money at something solves the problem. Sometimes you have to throw money at something. It needs to be done. But in the end, I believe as a pastor, I'm accountable to God for the way that we spend money in the church. Amen? I think I'm responsible to make sure that it's not wasted and doing unwise things. And just like you with your at home, in your own budgets, and me with my own budgets at home, you know, I'm responsible to be a good steward of that, what God's given me. Does that mean I don't go buy ice cream? Well, not really now, because I kind of quit sugar. But you can still go get some ice cream if you want ice cream. You can still go do stuff like that. That's not what I'm saying, that you're just so, that you don't enjoy life. But I'm just saying we need to be a better steward. And to find out, and I'll be honest, there's probably some people that probably need to make a budget. If not for just knowing how to manage money, it's just so you'll actually see where you're spending money. If you write down for a month every bit of money you're spending, then you look at that at the end of the month, it could really open your eyes. Just your Casey's bill alone. You know what I mean? I'll be honest, I haven't bought nothing there other than gasoline over probably a year or so, because I quit drinking coffee. And that used to be my treat. But if you add all them coffees up for a month, yeah, it's a fun. You got to have some fun. But if you really think about it, you can make coffee a lot cheaper at home and spend that money on something else if you want. You don't have to. I'm just saying. Look at where you're spending money and tally it up at the end of the month and then times that by 12. And then see what you could have bought with that money. And what I try to tell people is, if you want to go buy something kind of expensive, take your hourly wage, deduct taxes, so your take-home wage, whatever that might be. And what you can do is take your net income on your paycheck, divide that by 40, and that's how much you make an hour take-home. And then if you're going to buy something for $7,000 that you really got to have, divide that $7,000 by that number and see how many hours you got to work for that. Maybe you won't want it no more. Maybe, right? Maybe I'm weird the way I look at things. But I make money work for me. Amen? I make it work for me. And there's always retirement, investing. We're not going into all that. So, stewardship sees spending money as an investment, not an expense. Okay, there's something that we have to do. There's things that we do. And so, in doing the stewardship, is don't get hung up on wealth, but stewardship is based on how we use wealth. Okay, remember, one guy got five, one guy got two, one guy got one. Okay, that may say, well, that's not fair. Hey, life ain't fair. Some people's just got more stuff than others. That's just the way it is. But the one guy got afraid, and maybe he got bitter. There were probably all three standing there, and the first guy got five. Then the next guy got two, and they kind of looking over and say, what's up with that? Well, then here comes long number three, and he only got one. Everybody probably staring at him. Wow, he only got one. You must be a real loser. Said the ones who got nothing, you know what I mean? But see, each of us have different things, and, you know, we can't be bitter about it. We want to seek increase in life. I believe starting with good stewardship and putting the things of God first is part of that. But, you know, we want to be a good steward. But even if you don't have very much, you still need to be a good steward. If not, especially that. You know, then that leads me to my next point of responsibility. Responsibility. The more we have, the more responsible we need to be. Luke chapter 12, verse 48, the last half of that verse says, "From everyone who has been given much, much shall be required. And to whom they entrusted much, from him they will ask all the more." So if we've been given much, and really primarily, if you're an American, listen to my voice right now, you have more than a lot of people in the world have. Although that's not a fair comparison, we have a lot of expenses in our country, I know that. Insurance and all these different things that we're responsible for and all that, I understand. But, you know, we've been given so much in our freedoms here in this country, so we need to use them wisely. So, to me, if we've been given much, much will be required. So it all depends on our perspective. When you look at your life, look at your stuff, look at everything that you have, could you say, hey, I have been given a lot? You know what I mean? I mean, don't look at somebody sitting over next to you who maybe has a newer car than you or a newer house than you or better clothes than you. It's not about comparing ourselves to other people. That's not cool. That'll get you nowhere fast. But you need to take a personal inventory of what I have. See, we can't be like the, maybe we don't have a lot, so we're so afraid all the time. We can't dig a hole and hide what we've been entrusted in. We need to invest it wisely. Here's a silly one. If you've been given the gift of gab, be a big mouth for Jesus. Some of you are quite the talkers, I know that. Now, if you have that gift of gab, hey, you might be greeter or material here at the church. You know what I'm saying? You might be somebody that works the crowd a little bit, goes up to talk to people. You might be a great evangelist, telling people about what God's doing in your life. Maybe you're a person that's been given great wealth. Use that to help build God's kingdom, whatever it takes, okay? So that brings us to the next thing that we have to do is faith in action. Faith is always action. Faith is not something that's just built in a textbook at all. Faith comes by hearing by the word of Christ. I know that. But faith has to be action. It has to be corresponding action to what we believe inside to prove that it's really real. You know what I mean? I can tell you I love you, but if I don't show you that I love you, do I really love you? Do I really love you? It's important that we step out. You know, Luke 19:13 talks about keep doing business till I come. You know, till the Lord comes, we're here to be responsible to keep carrying on with doing the things of the gospel. You know, many people have always felt they're the rapture generation. They're to be the ones that's going to be caught up in the air. You know, they've been believing that for years, and I believe we are. Does that mean I sit back on my hands and wait, hoping for that rapture bus? You know what I'm saying? No. We have to be busy about the Lord's business. We do the things that we're supposed to be doing. We take care of the things and that we're responsible for to make sure that they're tended to. You know, most people say they're waiting on God, but usually they find out that God's been waiting on them. Amen? Or oh my. All these things. So closing thoughts, a couple of them here. I'm going to pick up the pace a little bit. You know, what I like about this, it says, if we are faithful with few, we'll be faithful with many. So don't wait. A lot of people wait till they have a lot of stuff, till they think they're going to be able to do things for the kingdom of God. You know, if I just had more money, I could go off and do this. I could, you know, make this difference in somebody else's life, or I could help somebody that's poor. But you start where you're at. Start where you're at. Because that proves to God, if we're faithful with what we have now, no matter how big our pile is, we all got different sized piles, right? But if we're faithful with our little pile, God notices that. And then I believe spiritual truth says he's going to give us a bigger pile. He's going to bless us. You know, I thank God for the blessings that he's brought into my life. So we start now and start today. Start now and start today. That's our, to the right now is our proving ground. I believe that God desires to see increase in our life. And if we prove ourselves as a faithful servant, we'll be promoted to be a ruler. That's what it says right here in that parable. That's what Jesus was trying to get to, through to the people. I mean, the parable is for our benefit so we can understand. Now, being practical, we can't expect somebody who has a little to do a lot, but they can do something. But in God's eye, that's everything. I think the widow with the mite, it just blesses me beyond over I could ask or think. She had so little and she gave, perspective-wise, comparatively, she gave so much because it was based on what she had, how she gave. And she gave more than anybody else who was giving large sums of money. See, God sees. God can see your faithfulness. God can see your honesty. He can see your dedication to the call of God upon your life. Amen? Just be faithful with that. Let God do the math. Let God do everything he's got to do. You know, don't be like the one talent slave to be wicked and lazy and to hold back. You know, like I said, that slave probably compared himself to others, and we can't do that because he had less than, so he didn't feel equal to. Don't let the fact that you may have less than right now make you feel that you're not equal to anybody else, because that's a lie from the devil. That's a big lie from the devil. The thing that I hope that you and I are longing for, that we want to hear, is well done, good and faithful servant. That's something that I want to hear when I finally get to my destination. When I leave this life here and go to the life eternal, I hope that I hear that. That I've been faithful with the things that God's put in my care. So, what is our view of the master, and how are we going to be a better steward of our resources? I just want to challenge us with that this week. To take inventory. It's a good thing. Take inventory every now and then. And just see what God will have us do. I want to show a scripture in closing. This scripture means a lot to me. When I was in Bible school, one of the teachers laid hands and prophesied this scripture over me. It's always meant a lot. It says, let a man regard us in this manner as servants of Christ and stewards of the mysteries of God. In this case, moreover, is required of stewards that one be found trustworthy. And that's what we need to do. Be a steward of the mysteries of God. God's ways are not like the world's ways. We're caught in the middle of this cosmic conflict, shall we say, between darkness and light. And we need to operate by God's principles and to be able to walk in his way. And we're going to see his kingdom come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen? Amen. Let's pray.